Today we're rolling into mission. Mission. And mission answers this question, what needs to be done? What needs to be done? Because, you know, if in order to fulfill the vision, and the vision fulfills the purpose, we have to understand the mission and know how to fulfill it. What needs to be done? I mean, how are we going to do this? So many people, they have business strategies, they have all these strategies, they don't have a life strategy. How crazy is that to not have a life strategy? To have a life plan, to have a life vision, a life purpose, a life mission. It's crazy not to have that. We just kind of wander and float around going, yep, I'm here today and then I'm over here tomorrow. And we're just kind of like a pinball. Anybody ever feel like a pinball? You just bounce around and you got to ask yourself, what in the world am I doing, man? This is craziness. Well, today we're going to discuss mission, which will help us discover vision, which helps us fulfill purpose. It just keeps adding. I love that. Don't you love it? Even if you don't love it, shake your head yes. You shouldn't lie in church, though. Okay. How many remember not the movie, but the TV series Mission Impossible? Yeah. And those that don't know it, yeah, kind of, somebody's like, yeah, kind of, sort of, didn't like it. Here's what would happen. they would get their mission, and of course the lead guy, and I can't remember his name, he would go to these various places and he'd get his package, and then inside the package would be a tape. And he'd take that tape out and he'd put it in a tape player, yes, a tape player, and put it in there, because I think it was from 67 to 74 or something like that the show went. And yeah, for those that raised their hand, yeah, because Kathy was like, yeah, I know it because I'm old. So at any rate, we're not old, we're just remembering. Yeah, we're just wise. We're here. Great wisdom. At any rate, so what happens is they'd take the tape out and he'd put it in a tape player and he'd play the tape and he'd tell them, your mission should you choose to accept it. Your mission, should you choose to accept it. And then he goes on with the mission, right? Tells him what it is and what he's got to do. And then the special effects come in. How many remember the special effects? In five, you guys are going to have to YouTube Mission Impossible, the series, and watch the special effects. Because what he says, and look for the 10-minute one, otherwise they, and then you can kind of fast forward it about 3 minutes in and you'll see it. But, and he says, this tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. And then you're looking at it, and of course, you know, the TV zooms in on it, and then you see this puff of smoke come up out of it, and it's just the effects before the effects were effects. And so anyway, but it's so funny, but he says, you know what, your mission, should you choose to accept it? That's a powerful statement. Your mission, should you choose to accept it? Today, I'm going to tell you your mission and what your mission should be. And your mission, and you can just leave that up right for right now, John. Your mission is to surrender. Die to yourself. That's your mission. You go, what? Surrender? I'll never surrender. Surrender to Christ. Die to yourself. It's not about you. It's not about you. I know some of you that hurts your feelings. but listen, it's not about you. I was talking this morning in the membership class, and I was sharing that you know, I was sharing about how it's not about us, and I just lost my thoughts, so I'm not going to go back there. Let's move forward. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. If you have your Bible, take out your Bible. I want you to open your Bibles today, and we're going to look up the Word of God. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. Does anybody need a Bible? All right. If you go, why do I need a Bible? You got it up on the board. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. It says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Somebody say deny. Deny. Wow, you getting that word? Deny. What? What? I can't have it? Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Say daily. What was the first word? Second. Wow, we just summarized that whole verse, didn't we? Two words. Deny daily. Deny daily. That's it. Our mission is to deny daily. Now, let me start all over on the verse. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? What profit is it to gain the whole world? And the King James says, and then to lose your only soul. What profit is it to get everything you ever wanted and then to die without God and everything you ever wanted? What profit is there in that? And he says, listen, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. In other words, if you desire to live, then you need Christ as your Savior. You need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You need to surrender your life. Not just go, okay, Lord, I'm saved. Come into my heart. Amen. Whew. Okay, I'm not going to hell now. I can live my life any way I want. No. It doesn't just stop there. That's not what it's about. Guys, I really thought about this. And the book Radical, I'm reading the book Radical, and many of you are reading the book Radical. Let me just say this. I don't agree with everything he says in that book, by the way, just so you know that. I really don't. I recommended that book for a couple reasons. One is a faith that is never challenged. Do you really, if you have a faith and it's never challenged, do you really believe what you believe? If what you believe has never been challenged? This book challenges you. I like that. And there's some things in there that that I don't agree with that he says. But here's what he does have. He's got this right. It's not about you. And he's got this right. That when you give your life to Christ, it's a full surrender. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. When you give your life to Christ, man, it might. Are you ready for this? It might cost you something. It might cost you something. It might cost you some old friends. It might cost you some old habits. It might cost, listen, I'm telling you what, when you surrender your life to Christ, it might cost you something, because some of you have lived or are living in a very unrighteous, sinful place, whether it's in your heart or physically. And some of you are going to have to surrender that. Give it up. It's not about religion. It's not about good works. That's what I was sharing earlier, how it's not about religion. I don't want you to have religion. I don't want one person in here to have religion. Not one. Not one. I don't want you religious, and I don't want you to have a religion. I want you to have a relationship, and I want you righteous. There's a big difference. Man, listen, religion can take you anywhere. Religion is a bunch of laws, and we're going to find that out as we unfold more scripture this morning. But laws are just yes, sir, no, sir, do and do and do and do this and do that. And that's what laws are. That's what religion is. Relationship says, Lord, you are our God, you are my Savior, you are my all, and I surrender my whole life to you. And if it costs me my life, then so be it. That's a tough thing, guys. This morning, I don't know how encouraging I'm going to be. I'm going to try real hard. I'm not a good smoother, though. I'm just going to tell you right now. As hard as I try to be, it just doesn't work. Not for me. And you got to get a hold of this. I mean, you really, really got to grab hold that a life for Christ is not always pleasant. And you go, well, I thought my whole world was going to be good when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Here's the promise that God makes when you accept Jesus as your Savior. Your whole world is going to change. That's what's guaranteed. But being good may not be guaranteed. Cost you something? Absolutely. What's it going to cost? I don't know. Because I don't know what God's called you to do. God called us to New York. What did it cost me? A lot of money in gas and travel, I can tell you that. But what did it cost me? You know, we had to downsize. We had to have a big garage sale. When we moved from North Carolina to Missouri, man, there's no way what we had would fit where we were moving to. It was no way it was possible. We gave a lot of stuff away, had a garage sale, had made like $4,500 on a Saturday at a garage sale. And we sold everything for a quarter. That'll tell you how much we had. I'm kidding. And so some of you in your head were trying to do the math and went, that's crazy. I'm kidding. Okay, but you know, what did we do? We had to downsize. We had to sell things, man. We had to sell extra sets of furniture. We had to fill one room because we could only go out there with one kitchen table rather than a kitchen table and a nice dining room table and all that. We had to start downsizing and selling. And then we got to Missouri, went to Bible college, and then God says, okay, when you graduate, you're going to New York. Well, when we came to New York, guess what we had to do again? Not because we accumulated, but because we're moving into an even smaller house than what we had in Missouri. And so guess what? You got to downsize. And so we started giving things away, and we had another garage sale and selling miscellaneous stuff here and there. And why? Because we got to go. What did it cost me? Honestly, nothing I really miss. You know what I'm saying? Because things are just things. But I remember when I got saved, what did it cost me? It cost me friends. Nobody wanted to hang out with some dude that used to be a partier and crazy and just, man, you never knew. You think that I changed now or that you don't know what to expect when I come in? You think without Jesus what it was like. You never knew what to expect from me. And man, some people thrived on that, you know. They loved it. And then all of a sudden, I come in saved. And I tell them, man, Jesus is my Savior. That they never expected. And all of a sudden, it was, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and just pushed them all out of the way. Because that's literally what happened. Not because I wanted it that way. As a matter of fact, when I sat back and I'm looking, I'm going, man, where are all my friends disappearing to? What's going on here, you know? And then all of a sudden this spiritual war starts happening. Oh, some of you didn't know about that, did you? Let me share this. We have this spiritual war going on where you got the devil going over here. You can do it. You've always done it. What's wrong with that? Look, you know what? It's all about you. Feed the flesh. Satisfy those desires. And then you have the Holy Spirit over here going, you know better than that. What are you thinking? Listen, remember the promises our Father gave you? Die to yourself. He'll take care of you. It'll be okay. You don't. Listen, when you surrender to Satan, you're giving away yourself. Don't do it. And by the way, when you give away yourself to Satan, he puts scars. Anybody know and realize scars don't go away? Do you know that? And let me tell you, Satan will scar you. And I mean, he'll scar you every way he can. The Holy Spirit says, don't do that. Don't do that. I love you. Don't go over there. And then we got to do this. What do I want to do? What do I want to do? Chocolate or vanilla? Chocolate or vanilla? What do I want to do? And we go crazy, don't we? And then we surrender to Satan. We just step out and say, okay, Satan, I'm going to do it your way. And you guys say, I don't do that. Well, when you step out, you do that. Okay, just so you know. And we step out and go, Satan, I'm going to do it your way. And have you ever noticed that when you do that and you fulfill the desire that you were battling and you get all done, it really wasn't that satisfying at all, was it? Now all of a sudden, guilt. Ah, can you believe I fell for it again? Why do I keep doing that? What, am I the only one that's been down that road? Man, why does it just keep happening? Ugh. Guys, we need to surrender. And we need to do it daily. And we need to lose our life so that we can save it. I know it doesn't sound right, but that's what the Word of God says. We need to lose our life so we can save it. It's a deny daily. Your mission is to surrender daily. Our purpose, I exist to glorify God. Our vision is to become like Jesus. And now our mission is to die daily or surrender. Mission is all about action. But here's the action. Are you ready for the action? Here's the action that we're supposed to have to fulfill the mission. Ready? It's the action of getting out of the way. Getting out of the way. Let God do what God's going to do the way He wants to do it by surrendering totally to Him. And sometimes we go, well, I don't like what God tells me to do, because I'm going to be honest with you. There's times where God's told me to do something and I said, Lord, You know my heart, and if I hold it in, You know that too. And so I'm just going to say it, so if no other reason, I can feel better. God, I don't like what You told me to do. I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. God, I don't want to do it. And I'll start immediately. Right? You ever been there? You ever have an argument with God? Man, when I surrendered, and I think I've shared this before, but I like the story, so I'll share it again. This is when I was living in North Carolina, driving down Old Stage Road in my van. I own my own business, and the phone rings. God calls. And you go, did God call on the phone? No, God didn't call on the phone. But, you know, it's that voice inside. You know when it's God, because He's saying things you don't want to hear. And so He's saying, John, you need to go to Bible college. And I had the audacity to go, no, I don't, God. John, you need to go to Bible college. No, I don't, God. Okay, John, I want you to go to Bible college. No, you don't, God. John, I'm telling you to go to Bible college. No, you're not, God. God, listen, I serve You. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a deacon. I'm an usher. I'm a greeter. Man, I go out on all kinds of ministries. God, I give more money to Your missions projects and the missions and the church and everything else than what some people make. And God, you know what? I think that's plenty. I'm good and I'm not going. And I remember I turned up the radio, right? Anytime we want noise gone, what do? Turn up the radio, right? Car squeaks, turn up the radio. Well, God was squeaking. I turned up the radio. And then my phone rings. Well, man, that's a potential customer. I better get my phone. I turned down the radio. You guys see where my anyway. Okay, so I answer the phone. And now it's Pastor Brothers. We had 9 pastors on staff at the church I went to. And Pastor Brothers, he's so awesome. And he says, John, we need to meet. And literally, this was within a minute of hanging up on God, you know. And he said, John, we need to meet in the morning. Is there any way we can meet in the morning? Same time, same place? Yep, Cracker Barrel, 8 a.m. I said, I'm there. I'm there. That's right. And so I get there, and of course, he's there, and he is so nice. He is the true Southern gentleman, Navy guy. He is just manicured to the head to foot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he is sharp dresser, sharp. Matter of fact, hopefully one day we'll get him out here. But he just wouldn't offend anybody for anything. And he said, we were talking, just kind of idle chit-chat. And normally I go, so what's up? You know, like, what do you need to talk about? But we were just idle chit-chatting for about 2 minutes. We no sooner sat back and took a breath. And he said, I can't wait any longer, John. I just got to tell you, God told me to tell you, you need to go to Bible college. And I went, oh. And then God interrupted again, thinking, what's up with you, God? He interrupts again, and he said this. If you don't go this time, I'll never call you again. I thought, God, I couldn't live without You calling me. And it just overwhelmed me. And I mean, you guys know these flood of emotions that happen just that quick through you. And I looked at Pastor Brothers and I said, okay, I'll go. And he said, huh? Man, because it's all about God. It's not about me. But I'm going to tell you, and one day I'll share with you, the miracle after miracle after miracle that God just put in place for us to move from North Carolina to Missouri. I mean, it was an amazing, amazing thing. Sold my business within 2 weeks and never advertised it. Sold my house, and the guy that sold my house didn't charge me but $500. He said, John, you just take care of the paperwork. That's all I want on a $170,000 house. You just, and he, of course, 10 years ago, 11 years ago in the South, that's like your $400,000 houses here, you know? And he said, don't worry about it. Not going to charge you a dime. All my money tied up because of the business selling and the house and everything that's getting done. And literally, you know, I was trying to liquidate and get my money, but it was all wrapped up. And I had a friend of mine come up and say, John, how are you going out to Missouri? I said, man, I'm going to rent a truck and a trailer. And I said, but you know what's funny? Dude, right now I don't even have $50 for a deposit. All my money was tied up. I said, you know, as soon as I get this business deal secure, and I'm just trying to tie everything up to move. And huge crocodile tears started coming down his cheeks. He said, God told me to pay your way. And he wrote a check that paid for me and my girls for all the gas, food, and hotel to move out to Missouri. Then I had two other friends that came up and said, John, who's going to help you unload the truck when you get out there? I said, man, I got a strong back. I was a little younger then. I said, man, I got a strong back. I'll work it out, man. You know, very little gets in my way. I'll move it. And they said, nope, you know what? We already talked about it. And it was Daniel and Rick, two friends of mine. They were self-employed. I hung out with everybody that was self-employed. The majority of my friends were. And they said, nope, you know what? We're going to follow you out in the truck. We'll take your motorcycle. We'll pull it. We'll hook a trailer up to it and load the truck down. And they did. They rode out there with us. Oh, and my buddy Wayne that paid for our move, he paid for their hotel, for their gas, for their food. He cut a check for everything. I'm just telling you, when you surrender to God, he puts it together. We think, oh, God, if I give you my life, what's it going to be like? Wow, did we ever see the hand of God move through? I mean, listen, we didn't. There was not 1 minute where we turned and we didn't see God. Everywhere. It was amazing. And so when it's talking about dying daily and surrendering, I'm going to tell you, if you trust God, if you totally surrender, man, he'll move in your life and it will absolutely take your breath away. I cannot remember the times. Even moving out here, man, Satan threw in so many obstacles, and I could tell you story after story how Satan tried to stop us from getting out here, and we kept going. And when we landed here in our Plymouth Rock, that's about what it felt like for us. God was right there. I'm telling you, he was always right there. He never left us in a desert. He never, listen, every need, every desire, I mean, he just, bam, here's yours. And I remember before I surrendered to come out here, we drove out here and looked at everything and see if this is where God wanted us to be. And we were out in Clifton Park at a Best Western there off of exit. I think it's exit, I don't know if it's exit, whatever. There's a Cracker Barrel on that exit. Exit 9, okay. So at any rate... I remember standing out in the parking lot, and I walked out, and I emotionally I was distraught because, you know, here we are, we're moving again, our lives are changing, it seemed like we couldn't put roots down anywhere. It seemed like, you know, we don't belong in Ohio, which is where we're from. We don't belong in North Carolina, which is where we were for almost 17 years. We don't belong in Missouri because it just wasn't our home. We were there for Bible college. And then we come out here to New York. And at the time, you know, we didn't feel like we belonged in New York, or we belonged, but it wasn't our home. And we knew we were supposed to be here. And I remember going out into the parking lot, and it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was some trees there and a semi that was parked there. And I just went over there. And I remember I went over there and I just lost it. Man, I just bawled my eyes out. I mean, literally, I just bawled my eyes out. And I said, God, I will come out here. God, I will give you my all. I will come out here no matter what the cost, no matter what it is. I will come out here, God. And I mean, this is during the sniveling and the those uncontrollable cries where you look really ugly and your face is all distorted, but you're trying to hold it back, you know, and it was one of those cries. And I said, God, I'll do this, but God, here's all I ask. Is that my bills are always paid, and if I want to take my children out to dinner or to go out and do something, God, the money will be there. That's all I ask, God. I'm not asking to get rich. I'm not asking for anything extravagant, God. Just that I can take care of my family and not just squeak by, but I can take care of my family. God, I'll come out here. And you know what? He's never let us down. Never. Never. Total surrender. And he's never let us down. Man, guys, I don't even know how I can get through this today. Whoo, God's so good. All right, here we go. So is being good, is that what God wants? Is that what he's saying? Is it just being good? No, you know what? Being good doesn't get it. We have to die daily. But the number one issue for most people is, the number one literally, is control. We want to control it all, don't we? We want to control our family. We want to control our relationships. We want to control everything. We want to control our money. We want to control the church. We want to control it. God, hey, it's mine, and it's mine, and did you hear it was mine? I'm going to control it. It's my life, too. I'm going to control it. I preached down here at the mission, and I looked out at them guys, and I said, you know, you guys have taken control of your life. How do you like the result? How about you? Have you taken control of your life? How do you like the result? How do you like where you're going? It's all fun and games. Okay, what's your purpose? Why do you exist? Why do you exist? You know how many people I've asked that and they can't answer it? I asked a gentleman who's very well educated, and I asked him that question 2 weeks ago. What's your purpose? And so I've asked him 3 or 4 times since then, what's your purpose? And he goes, I'm still thinking about it. And I went, dude, I can answer it for you like that. Just ask me. But I couldn't do that. So I said, all right, well, when you figure it out, you let me know. We need to give up self-control. The amazing thing is we don't mind trusting Jesus with our heaven and hell issues. But we don't want to give him our life. We don't want to trust him with our life. Well, God, I appreciate heaven and everything, but you just don't understand what's going on here. And, you know, this is really fun, and you're always condemning everything that's really fun. And you know what? And because you condemn it that it's really fun, I just really want to do it. So here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm just going to do what I want to do because I want to do it. Isn't that what we do? Sometimes? And he says, you know, give it up. Give it up. Not only just give up your heaven and hell issues with me, but give up all your life issues to me as well. Because we say, oh, I'll do what Jesus asked me to do as long as it's what I want to do. Right? Come on, guys. How many are guilty of that? Some of you want to surrender. Did you get? Like, it's like, well, I want to surrender. Why don't you? I mean, that's a rhetorical question. I'm not looking for an answer. But why don't you surrender? Is it because you're pleasing the flesh? Is it because you don't want to give up all those things? Well, it's been a lifestyle of mine. Do you ever think it's a wrong lifestyle if it's not loving God and following God? I'm telling you guys, you give up. You give up everything to Jesus. And man, you'll want to go preach somewhere. I'm just saying. Someone once said, a conversion that does not involve complete surrender is not a true conversion. Wow. That's a powerful statement. A conversion that does not involve complete surrender is not a true conversion. Surrender is not an event. It's a lifestyle. You guys getting this? It's daily. Our mission is what? To die daily. Whatever or whoever sits on the throne of your life, rules your life. John 15, 4 through 6 says this, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what?" Think about that. Now our arrogant little selves and our arrogant little minds and our self-controlling, selfish self with our pea brains go, "God, what do you got to do with my life? I've been doing just fine." And I think we need to be reminded that God, and if only he would do that. You know, my dad used to do this and I hated it. So I don't even know why I'm saying if God would do this because I hated it. But my dad would take his finger and he had this ability where he would support it and it felt like a nail driving through my chest. And when he wasn't hitting me on the chest, he'd hit me on the forehead. And or he'd take his knuckle and just, you know, if you do something silly. And so, man, I knew I did something silly if my head popped back and I had a goose egg right there. And sometimes I think God just needs to do that to us, you know. Just go, "What are you thinking?" We wouldn't appreciate it, but I think God needs to do it sometimes. But listen, look at the word abide. Abide literally means to not depart, to remain, or to stay. Abide. He says, "Stay in me, and I stay in you." But he doesn't say, "Stay in me, and then I'll stay in you." He goes, "Stay in me," or "abide in me, because I stay in you. I never leave you, I never forsake you." So he says, abide. It is a present, active, continuous act. Purpose, vision, mission can't happen unless we abide. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." When I surrendered, I gave up my hands, I gave up my eyes, I gave up my mouth, my money, I gave up everything. You know why? Because it wasn't mine anymore, it was his. Philippians 3:7-11 says this, "But what things were gained to me," and this is Paul talking, and by the way, Paul's in prison at this time, "but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." He says, everything's a loss except Christ Jesus. The knowledge of Christ Jesus. Think about that. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Now, Paul's in prison. Paul, I was sharing what prison looks like for those that get thrown into the inner prison. And Paul was thrown into the inner prison when he was in Philippi. And what they do is they chain you to the wall. The floors are dirt and they're wet. And they hook these shackles up on your ankles. And then they wishbone you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, how many here could get up here and do a split? Okay, by the time they're done, you would have zero problem doing that. Because that's what they do. They hook to you and they would literally just keep pulling your legs apart and leave you there. And yet Paul says this, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law." Remember, the law is about being good. It's not about good works. "But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." He says, listen, you know what? It's all rubbish. Everything is rubbish. The only thing that matters is Christ. And man, I give it all up. It's all rubbish for Christ. Surrender is the prerequisite to faith. Surrender is the prerequisite for faith. If you don't surrender, you don't have faith. You go, "Well, that's not true." Really? Philippians 2:7, Paul says this, "But made myself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. but made himself of no reputation, because Paul was saying in 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And then he looks at, then he goes back, that's in 3:10, then Paul goes back in 2:7 and says, but Christ made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, which is a slave, if you will, and coming in the likeness of men. He says, I want to become the slave to Christ. Guys, we need to surrender and we need to empty ourselves. And that's what Paul was doing. He was emptying himself. And if we're going to live the vision, we must fulfill the mission, should you accept it. Guys, there's some big questions that you need to ask yourself. Paul goes on in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And you got to remember about Paul, man, before he gave his life to Christ, he was the Hebrew of Hebrews. Man, he was wealthy, very wealthy. He wanted nothing. He was the head of an army. And this army he took out to kill Christians. I mean, Paul, listen, Paul was up there. He even says, I was the Hebrew of Hebrews. I was the men of men. I was the man. He'll tell you. And he says, you know what, though? I'll give it all up again to be like Christ. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do. You ready for this? One thing I do. Listen, guys, because this is what captures a lot of you. Are you ready? This is what captures a lot of you. This is what holds a lot of you in prisons that shouldn't hold you in. Forgetting those things which are behind. Some of you are in prison right now because you won't forget the past. Now, I don't mean forget the past as in like it never existed, because the past has made us who we are today. But what I'm talking about is quit holding on to it as a crutch. Quit using it as an excuse. Quit using it because you can't forgive yourself. Quit using it to guide and control your life. Quit using it to put the brakes on what you could possibly do in the future because you can't deal with what you did in the past. I feel like Paul sometimes, where I can literally stand up here shamefully and say, I don't know if there's anybody in here that's done much worse than I have. On the grand scale of everything, in the scheme of all, when you look at the whole thing. But here's what I know. I know that God loves me. I know that I'm the object of his love, John 3:16. I know that he's given me not a spirit of fear, but of boldness and a sound mind. I know that he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, do as I say. I know that God, all throughout Scripture, if you look at all the people that he's called to serve, he's called misfits. Man, look at some of these fishermen that he's called in. Look at some of these others. Look at John Mark, who came, and then John Mark, man, Paul wanted nothing to do with John Mark because he quit. And Barnabas said, look, I think he'll be okay. And Paul said, I don't want him. Get him out of here. And Barnabas said, I'll take him. And Paul and Barnabas had this huge fight because John Mark just didn't show himself to be too trustworthy or faithful. But here's what he did, man. One day he woke up and said, what am I doing? I need to be doing what's for Christ, because only that'll last. And he came back into the fold and he repented and he started doing right. And then here's what Paul said. Paul looked at Barnabas and he looked at John Mark. He wrote to Barnabas and he said, bring John Mark, because I think he'll be profitable now for the ministry. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in the Bible. Look at Moses. What did Moses do? He stuttered. God said, here, Moses, I want you to lead my people. And here's what Moses said. Are you ready? God, I can't talk. God said, lead my people. I'll take care of your tongue. Who led his people? Moses. Guys, we have a mission to die daily, and we have no excuse to not die daily. Because God says, if you surrender to me, I will lift you up. If you die, you will live. And this is what he's talking about. And so many of us choose to want to live today instead of die. And when the day comes, we're going to die. And that's not going to be pretty. I'm telling you, God calls people to do things. Look at David, who was one of the greatest kings that ever sat on the throne in Israel. And what did he do? Because God called him and God says, you're going to be a king. And David got scared of Saul because so many things that were happening. And he forgot what God said to him. And he ran in fear. And he ran to his enemy because he's looking to hide from Saul, the king of Israel at that time. And he ran to his enemy, the Philistines, and stands at the gate. And he's slobbering and spitting in his beard. And it says that he's acting all crazy and like he's lost his mind. Why? Because he didn't trust God. And yet God still calls him back and says, remember what I told you? Remember the promise? Guys, I'm telling you, there is no reason that we couldn't die to ourselves and serve God, because God's got a bigger plan than you could ever imagine for your life. But man, if you don't die and you don't empty yourself of yourself, you're never going to see it. You're never going to know it. You're never going to experience it. Man, you're going to cheat yourself so bad. Paul figured out the secret to living a significant life. What? How many want to know the secret to living a significant life? Nobody? I'm the only one? Okay, good. Here we go. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. You ready for this? This is the secret that Paul figured out of living a significant life. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And then he says this, I can do all things through Christ. Now, here's the amazing thing. We can do some things in the flesh, but we can do all things in Christ. You get what I'm saying? Guys, we are so limited on our own. And you got to know that. You got to see it. You got to believe it. Because how many things have you wanted to do that you can't do? And then all of a sudden you see somebody, or maybe even yourself, and you reached out to God and you surrendered to God and you cried out and you said, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't fix myself. I can't. God, I need you to take it away. And he illuminates the room for you. And all of a sudden you have this ability. All of a sudden your marriage comes together. All of a sudden your life comes together. All of a sudden your thoughts come together. Why? Because you opened the door and said, God, come in. This is what Paul said. He says, you know what? Here's the key. That in all things I am content because I can do all things through Christ. That's the secret to a significant life. In all things I'm content, whether I got money or I don't have any money, because money's not the issue. Things aren't the issue. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have a video. The video is going to take longer than I care for it to take, but I'm going to end with the video. And here's my question for you before we put the video in. Go ahead and get the video ready, John, please. Here's my question for you. Have you truly been born again? Now, rhetorical, hold on. Have you truly been born again? Have you truly said, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my life. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I repent. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I want heaven as my home, not because I want to escape things, but Jesus, because I realize you are God. I realize you are the Son of God. I realize you are the Savior of the world. And I realize that without you, I can do nothing. Jesus, come in and be my Savior. That's my question. Have you really done that? Have you really surrendered your life? Are you truly born again? And if you're not, then you need to deal with that. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. And then there's some of you in here that you truly got born again. You truly got saved. You're truly saved. No matter what, you're going to go to heaven. But here's what you did. You took your life back. You took your life back. It's kind of like if I said, hey, Stan, take this water. It's yours. Enjoy it. That's what we did. This, we took it back. And I'm telling you today, you need to surrender. You need to surrender. You need to say, you know what, God? Daily, I'm going to die daily. Doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, but here's what it does mean. With every fiber of my being, God, I am going to seek your face and I am going to surrender to you daily. I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what you want me to do. See, because what happens, there's some of you here that aren't saved, and then you go, well, listen, now you know what? I want to surrender. I want to surrender. But you can't surrender on the back half if you're not saved on the front. And then some of you got saved on the front, but you are not surrendering on the back now. You're taking it back. And guys, I want you to see in this video that this is what you have to let God do to you, for you.
2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your Son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that. Don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at that as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Hopefully you seen through that what I've been trying to say this whole time. You're not junk. You are the object of God's love. He doesn't make junk. And he wants you. The surrender daily is decisions. That's what it is. The die daily means you're not going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what he wants you to do. You want fulfillment? It's dying. It's doing what he wants you to do. That's what brings fulfillment.